Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sweet Quiche. It's the IGN UK podcast. I'm not going to do that every week. Joe, it's your fault.
It's not got the staying power. No. It's a throwaway joke, but enough
flaky
people...
Flaky like the pastry it's contained in.
Oh, I thought that was your new intro. Flaky like the pastry. It's the IGN UK podcast.
We're never flaky. We never miss a week. Even when there's tidal waves of work to crash through, we never miss a week.
Apart from the other week when the podcast was massively delayed.
It wasn't delayed. It appeared in some places. Recorded in time. Yeah. People eventually could listen to it. That's what you're going to get from this podcast is effort, at least. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to do another one of those like build a game workshops, but this one's different. Mm. We're not building a game.
This
we're
one's
building
a copyright nightmare.
Yes. We'll have to dance around a lot of strikes. We'll be fine. It doesn't get on YouTube. We'll be safe. We're going to build our own game OSTs. Which is music, if you're into that. How are we going to do this? Well, what we're going to do is we have how many categories? 8 categories, which we'll get to in a bit. But first, why don't we actually talk about why we're doing this? The proms. If you're from Britain, you probably know what the proms are. If you're not, it's these big, fancy, month-long orchestral concerts.
Have either of you ever been to a prom?
No. Me and Dale did go to the Royal Albert Hall to see PlayStation Music, though. We basically went to something similar.
Mm. That was good. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was real good.
I've been to one with, like, contemporary classical music, which is great because it's just dudes, like, hitting stuff half the time.
You just go to Stomp?
Yeah, I went to Stomp in the Royal Albert Hall.
Stomp prom?
Yeah, they're beautiful classical music concerts in rarefied atmospheres.
Exactly.
For the people.
And they started... Do you know this, Joe? Do you know this fact?
Yeah, I told you this fact.
1895. I don't think you know this fact. 1895 was the first ever prom. But more significantly, this year, and in fact this week, was the first ever video games prom, where they played lots of different video game music. It actually happened on Monday night, but they're broadcasting it on the BBC, if you have access to that, tonight, which is Friday the 5th of August.
Friday.
And it'll be available when I play it. I play it. I'm not advertising the proms or BBC here, but yeah, it's probably a fun thing to check out.
I've got two of my friends are presenting it, which is insane. Stephen Powell,
I forgot. Yes.
Of the BBC, and Louise Blaine, ex-colleague of mine. That's wild that two people I know are getting to present the proms. And frankly, why am I not presenting the proms? I watch the ones where people hit stuff. Get me on the proms.
Why hasn't Stefan asked us? We've won Warzone games with him and he doesn't even invite us to the proms.
Absolutely. Piss take, yeah.
Ridiculous.
I hate the proms now.
I thought you were going to say, I hate Steph.
No, Steph's all right. Good lad.
But yeah. Check that out if you're into it. It's probably quite fun. I haven't watched it yet. I can't guarantee it's good, but I imagine it's very good. I looked at the track list. There's some great ones there. And I don't want to say something because maybe some of them might hint at what I want to pick in this upcoming builder music workshop thing we're doing. What do you guys, without giving away some of what you might be thinking of taking, like, what do you look for in a video game soundtrack? Because it kind of... It's a bit of a weird question, isn't it? Because it's whatever fits the game.
I was saying this earlier. Like, I think the measure of a good gaming soundtrack, because frankly, a lot of my gaming is done to podcasts. Like, I just I listen to other stuff. I disrespect the game makers, frankly. and it's really, if it can make me not want to listen to something else, that's when I'm like, they've done a good job. If I'm going away, like humming something or singing something, then they've smashed it. And honestly, I don't listen to a great deal of gaming soundtracks outside of the games themselves. But when I do, I know I've bought a few on vinyl where I'm like, that is these are the tip top for me.
I definitely have like a dozen or so that are in rotation if I'm doing like a long bit of writing or something, like if I like to stick it on, especially if it's a similar game or if it's like, for example, like when I was writing my Horizon Forbidden West review, I just had the Horizon Zero Dawn score on just to inspire me.
I genuinely cannot remember a note of that. I know, score.
Right, really? Yeah. That is an incredible, I'm not saying I'm picking it later, but Aloy's theme is one of my very favourite bits of game music.
Is it like Pan Pipes or that? Is it going, no, it's that.
Oh yeah, it's very orchestral, isn't it?
Lots of
singing. It's amazing.
I don't ever like listen to like full game soundtracks, but I listen to tons of game music. But they're usually music that not necessarily like I love at the moment, but they remind me of emotional moments or remind me of scenes and certain moments of my life as well, of like when I was enjoying that game and how invested I was. And I regularly go back and I think back to that time, and it's like, so the emotional like resonance of some of these songs are most of the ones that stand out to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like we're going to go through what categories we've got, but like battle themes are a big one, I think, that stick in the brain because like tense moments. And normally, yeah, you hear them a lot because either you fail the battles or there's just lots of battles in the games. And then there's just also your license track. There's just great choices of music in games as well. Like, I'm sure we'll bring these up. You know, there's things like, you know, the Tony Hawk's games wouldn't be half as good without the soundtracks they had in those games, probably.
The other interesting thing about license tracks is that they can be tracks you would never actually listen to, but because they work so well. Like, the one that really sticks out to me is the Ashtray Maze in Control, which is an amazing section. Yeah. But that song, if I listened to that in any other context, I would think it's absolute bollocks. But something about it being placed within that scene makes it so good. It's just it's an amazing like choice for that section.
Yeah, I suppose it's similar to film soundtracks in a way, isn't it? Like, I occasionally put on film soundtracks, but like, for example, I don't know, one of my favourite films, Boogie Nights, like, just the songs they pick are perfect. Half of them on their own, I don't listen to or don't think they're great songs, but in those moments, they're just, like, absolutely perfect.
In video games, though, it's like, they have the power, you know, a licensed track list has the power to, like, inform a generation as well of, like, kids growing up, that music that they never might have, like, heard or even been approached, like, had in their face. And now, all of a sudden, while they're playing this game, they're just being presented this music that they can go back into back catalogs and learn about artists.
Unfortunately, as we've learned from Stranger Things, you're not actually allowed to learn about music
before. Unless you were there at the time.
Unless you watch them eight times live.
Exactly. You can't like it. And now, like, yeah, kind of like, I mean, it hasn't happened that recently, but in the last 10, 15 years, we've actually got to a place where game music is at the level of film music and can just be put into games. Like, you know, there's not many other, like, films weren't restricted in the 70s by only having MIDI scores or stuff. Like, in, you know, for like a good 20 years, you were restricted by what you could put in a game. Well, and that actually, that, you know, out of necessity, you got some absolutely minimalist, iconic things. Like, the Super Mario score is ingrained in people's mind.
It's also an absolute banger.
Oh, it's so good.
The dungeon music. That's literally never left my head for 30 years. And like, it's shown actually by these problems. We were just talking about it before. We were slightly making fun of the fact that because we're not going to pick this one, so it's fine. We were slightly making fun of the fact that among all these amazing tracks at the proms, there is a selection from Battlefield 2042, which does sound a little out of place. But it was helped put together by Hildur Gudnadottir, who...
Good pronunciation.
Thank you. I tried. I don't actually know if it's correct.
No, it sounded good though.
Is she Oscar winning?
Oh yeah, she won for Joker.
Yes.
And she did Chernobyl as well.
Yeah. Ooh. Which is, you know, like, just the level of people we're getting into games now. And obviously, this isn't to say nothing of the fact that there are incredible composers in games already.
Yeah.
But it's kind of it's telling that you've got that move towards gaming now, which is
exactly get Johnny wild. Greenwood to score again. That's
oh my
what we
god,
want.
Can you imagine how horrible
Alan Wake 2 with Johnny Greenwood?
We were talking about Johnny Greenwood the other day being his favorite game of all time is Eco. Imagine if he did the new Fumito Ueda game, that would be the best.
Let's pitch it. Let's get it. Ooh, someone's excited.
Before
Joe gets too excited, why don't we get started on this? Because sometimes these can last a while. We don't know how long they're going to last. I will actually, you know, I meant to say this before the podcast, but I'm saying it now. After you say what track you're picking, just leave a beat for me so I can actually insert a few seconds of it. But yeah, there you go. A little peek behind the audio.
Then you might have to do some edit points where we actually play sections of these to each other over screen share.
Just so you can remember what it was.
Otherwise, it would be such a useless exercise for us.
Yeah.
There's definitely a couple on my list where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need to share these with you guys.
Fair enough. No, we can do that. Right, let's go through the categories first so people know what we're going to be picking from. And it's going to be the same as how we do it usually as well. If one person picks a game, then no one else can pick that game for any other category. So you can't even have you can't have multiple tracks from the same game. You can only pick one track from that game. There is an exception, but we'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. So we have a menu theme is one of the categories. Then we have a battle theme. Third is a characters theme. Four is an exploration / map theme. Five is any orchestral piece. Six is any rock / pop / electronic piece. Seventh is a whole game's licensed track list. I know Joe has some issues with this.
Well, I think it's mad, but anyway.
Nah, we're doing it. And we will you pick one from that track list as well that you want to highlight. And then eight, I've listed saucy banger. We have to have some sauce in there somewhere. And that's basically just anything you want, a wild card.
I'm really worried.
Saucy banger.
I'm really worried because I've got a saucy banger that I think is so good, but I do think Dale might pick the same one. Even though it's a wild card, but I'm not sure.
I've definitely earmarked a few from other categories to be like, if this doesn't get through on this category, it's definitely going into the saucy
maybe you haven't
section.
Picked this one then, because this does not fit into any other category on it.
I have got a couple in there already, but I don't think you'll have them. Who knows? We'll find out.
We will. Joe.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask.
I've got the Wheel of Names. Wheelofnames.com. Sponsor us, Wheelofnames.com, because we use you. I'm going to spin it now. You won't be able to tell, but I promise I'm not fudging this. We're going snake style, aren't we? So 1, 2, 3, three, two, one. I'm spinning. There we go. Please be me first for once.
Really? I don't need first. I don't know what I'd go for.
I feel like third is the best to start with.
Well, unfortunately, Dale, you're first. So enjoy yourself. Right. Followed by... Jigga, 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 jigga. I'm doing the noise that it makes. Cardi's second. Joey's Greb's third.
I don't get any double picks.
No dubs.
Right.
I think that puts me at a disadvantage.
I really didn't want to go third.
What a swap now.
Because there's one thing on here where I'm basically fucked if you pick it for reasons I'll explain in a bit. Okay.
Is it the Cuphead theme? I know you love that one.
The Cuphead theme is nowhere fucking near this list. That is psychic trauma for me at this point.
Right. I think I'm going to have to take a big one off the board first. It's probably the one that I'm worried about the most that everyone else might have. So let's go for it. It's the orchestral piece.
Interesting.
Ooh.
And my orchestral piece is The Blades of Chaos from God of War.
Do you know what? I did not have it. So
oh, shit. Okay, go. I really thought everyone would have
that. I basically got two or three options for everyone, and it's one of those where, don't get me wrong, I love the God of War music, but it was never in the top three for any of those, so it's just missed out for me. But why do you love this bit?
Again, what I mentioned earlier about this emotion, it was when I think of God of War, the 2018, was it? 2018, yeah, game, The first thing that comes to mind every time is that scene when he gets the Blades of Chaos and that huge rise, the tension, and then you've seen that behind the scenes video of them recording that as well with the huge choir of the it's super powerful, and it's the first thing that comes to mind when I think of an orchestral piece, to be honest. I have a couple of others, but I thought I'd go big.
It's great.
I needed to start. I have it on in the background now, and as soon, literally the first note, I was like, oh yeah, it's this one. Such an unbelievably evocative bit of music, and such a big part of making that God of War game feel like a grown-up game. It's so easy to forget at this point that pre that game, God of War was the stupid game where you ripped up harpies with tits, and now it's
button bashing sequences of having threesomes and stuff.
And now it's ridiculous. This really heartfelt, meaningful, big action story, and this music encompasses that so well.
But that scene also even serves that legacy as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we're feeling like we've abandoned the legacy, but like in all the pre-marketing material, it felt like this was like a new version of it, just create to continue. But then it showed you that it was all connected. But they did it in such a grown-up way
They did such a good job at keeping that secret. And you know what? Good job to all the reviewers and embargo people as well, because no one spoiled that as well. Like, even when I played it, I must have got to that a week or so after release, still didn't know that was happening. So, yeah. Well done to everyone. Let's carry that on. Why don't we? Let's take that attitude into the future. It's a good first pick. It's strong.
Very strong. Meaty.
It's huge me next, isn't it? Ah... See, there's, I say this famous last words, there's not actually many here that I am worried other people are going to take. There's a couple that I'm also going to take my orchestral piece. This is, whenever anyone asks me, like, what is my favourite video game score, this is always in the conversation, like, in the top three. And I'm going to take Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, okay.
And this specific track I'm going to pick is Revived Power. This piece of music is just phenomenal. This is one of the ones that when me and Dale went to the PlayStation concert, they played, and like, this was the highlight for me. Just unbelievable piece of music. And I know you recently actually played The Last Guardian, Joe, which does also have good music, but just never quite hits what Shadow of the Colossus had, which for me is just, yeah, like I said, an all-time score. Just like this playing as you're going up against just ridiculously sized enemies. Like, it's just, I do think the remake is better than the original for some obvious reasons, but like, even back then, like, just this music and that was just like, I think the first time really I felt like, wow, like, games can have can be truly cinematic, like a film, and like, yeah, unbelievable stuff.
The interesting thing I'd say about this is, like, orchestral music, like, across the board tends to have this sort of, it can always suit the situation and feel like it fits, but be unmemorable a lot of times. Like, for example, I don't know, Justice League. I bet you that has loads of orchestral music in it. Can't tell you a single bit of it. Whereas this, as soon as I heard the first beats, it was memorable. It immediately came back to me, which makes it, you know, a standout piece of orchestral.
Well, it's got, like, it's so melody forward as well. Like, this isn't texture. This is someone, like, chucking melody at your face while you're climbing this stuff. Like, it really, like, it gets across the scale and the scope of those fights.
It's so good.
Incredible.
Yeah. So good. Joe, you've got two picks now. Take control of this.
I've got my pick. Right, so I have a philosophy for this one, which is I am actually going to be trying and making a soundtrack that all sounds good together.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just picking things I like.
Like, and I think it's totally fair to come into this as like a best of. But I genuinely wanted to make something where I think you could probably put this together as a Spotify playlist and it would genuinely sound good, right?
Okay. Should we do that afterwards? Put a Spotify playlist together of our picks?
The problem is that a lot of these things aren't on Spotify. We might have to do a YouTube playlist. But we could do that. So what I've gone for is electronic, but trying to avoid like straight chiptune, like good electronic music. And as a result, the only choice in licensed track list is Hotline Miami.
Fuck off.
Oh, okay.
Hotline Miami is... there are incredible jukebox soundtracks, which you two will definitely have as we go through this. But Hotline Miami created a licensed track list that sounds like an actual game soundtrack. It all fits, and everything feels correct to that game. The track I would play is Hydrogen by Moon.
Yes, mate. That's what I had on my list.
It's the one.
I had that for the rock pop electronic piece, but yeah,
This as my battle music for a bit, and then if we're doing a full track list, I'm getting all of this. That song, which you have just heard probably, is like, it is the sound of fucking straight up murdering dudes in Hotline Miami. Like, it has the pulse of that game just like pushing you through every single thing. And what I love is that track list flips itself constantly from those moments of like weird drug induced like hazy stuff like that. Literally the title screen is the music to me. The visuals work, but that I can't remember what that song is called off the top of my head. And then going into one of those levels, entering the door, and one of these fucking tracks kicking off and just absolutely like pushing you through that high score chase. I just think it's the best put together licensed track list for the purposes of a game's like mechanics that I can ever think of. And it's just incredible.
It's a game you can't play without the music. Like, no. I can't imagine playing that game without the music. I mean,
and that's why that girl in The Last of Us Part 2 died, because she had her earphones in. She could not listen to the music.
Yeah. It's like, the track you mentioned, Hydrogen, is like, it's so in tune with the gameplay. It's so rhythmic. Like I said, it feeds you, it almost feeds your, it makes you want to fire bullets in time with the beat so much. Do you know what I mean?
So good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it turns an action game into a rhythm game. Like, and that's the best quality you can give to music in a game. Like, it is forcing you to play differently. It's unbelievable.
It's a good choice. Track you've got two. Another one.
I do. This one, I'm taking... Oh, which one do I go for? Okay. I'm going for character theme.
Oh.
And this is the only one where I'm going against my own feeling of, like, I'm picking stuff that I fucking love. Like, I don't necessarily absolutely love this song, but I think it is... It's the encapsulation of a character theme. Street Fighter 2, Guile's theme. This song has become a meme, and it's a meme because, like, it's just this amazing, like, weird, joyful, the fucking US dude on an aircraft carrier. I'm gonna beat the shit out of you and have a lovely time doing it. It's so much fun. Like, it's just an amazingly happy track considering it's about like battering people. You would expect it to be like chunky. Well, I know it wouldn't have been actual orchestra or like recorded music on the snares, but it was snares, wasn't it? Street Fighter 2? You're not going to get that sound, but they would have been going for like fake rock riffs in any normal opportunity to make a soundtrack for this kind of game. But something about Guile's theme is just like, no, we're just throwing this like weird riff at you for a bit. Yeah. And it's just amazingly good fun. It's lovely.
Like Carney mentioned earlier as well, like it's from a period with technical limitations, you know, like create barriers to creating truly iconic pieces of music where the only weapon you have to make something iconic is just being great construction and melody, like like literally creating the best riffs.
Yeah, you can't
as well.
Mask stuff with just like other instruments, basically.
It's just completely transcended the game as well. Like Guile's theme in among some quarters will be more famous than Street Fighter 2. Like it's such a good bit of music for funny and for good reasons.
It's a great pick. Fantastic stuff. I see you all. Yeah, I can already see that coming together, Hotline Miami and
Tegar. Yeah, to be fair, it's a little happier than most of Hotline Miami, but there is there's a running feel.
Right, I get a pick before Dale gets two, and because Dale's got two coming, I'm gonna do this because I'm worried he might have had a very similar thought process, because I know me and Dale are both a particular fan of this one thing, and this one band.
I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, really?
I think I might know what it is.
For licensed track list, I'm going the Beatles Rock Band.
Oh. So,
I didn't even think of that. Jesus.
So I just get lots of Beatles songs. and the one... What am I? Well, it's from a rock band game, so let's go...
What Beatles track do I want to play?
Yeah, it has to be one that I know is on this. They're not all on there. I'm going to go for While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Oh, good choice. This feels like a cheat. I don't know.
In what way is it? Because tell me how that's not allowed.
Because we're talking about like licensed track lists. We're talking about, you know, your Burnouts, Tony Hawk's, GTAs, and things like that. It's absolutely allowed. You're right. It just feels like a cheat. You know.
But I have not broken any rules. I have fought outside the box.
Bastard.
I like
yeah,
it.
So I've got the Beatles. I did have a backup, which is a bit more on the theme of what you were saying, but I've got the Beatles, therefore I win.
No, I will say that our two approaches leave that so unbelievably wide open for you, Dale. Like, you have to pick exactly. up some of the Sports most famous choice, really, soundtracks in history. Yeah,
exactly. Any Tony Hawk, GTA, Guitar Hero, anything you want, basically, you've got.
Yeah. I haven't got the Guitar Hero. That would also feel like cheating. Because that's part of the game.
My backup was Guitar Hero.
I mean, what? How can I? What more can I say about the Beatles?
Please refer to every copy of Rolling Stone and Mojo ever written.
I do, like, cause we do put this to a public vote on Twitter, and I do know this will cost me some votes because some people are very aggressive in the way they like to tell you the Beatles are bad. I don't care if you don't like them. I don't care if you don't like them. You just don't have to tell me you don't like them.
Have you ever been on the internet, mate? That's not how it works.
I know. But yeah, so far I have Shadow of the Colossus and the Beatles.
It's not quite the formula what Joe's going for.
No. But I mean, this does kind of, I suppose we just had While My Guitar Gently Weeps to the playlist, not all of the Beatles discography, because that would be a bit of a schlep. Dale, you've got two picks now. Like Joe said, it's pretty wide open still. I don't think, like we said with Stylus, I don't think there'll be too much crossover, but there is one I'm eyeing up, which I think you might take. So we'll see.
Okay. I think I'm gonna go for another one where I feel like I want to take the game off the board. I want to stop anything else. And Cardi, I suspect maybe you might have this down at some point, so I'm going for it. It's the battle theme, and despite what my first and what you might think is my first obvious choice, I'm not going for that. I'm going for Dune Eternal, and I'm going for Meat Hook. And you'll know exactly what music that is when you listen.
I'm glad you said the word eternal. That's all I'll say.
I thought that might be it. I mean, it does sound exactly the same as the one I assume Cardi's going to do. <on that. laughs>
Yeah, I mean, and just what a name as well, Meat Hook.
I know, right? I never knew what the name was until today when I was researching it, and I was like, that's just real, it feels really evocative of the music.
It's just like so much of that game, it's just so gloriously just what's the word, they just went for it. They didn't leave anything on the table. It's like, we are going to make the loudest
it's filth.
Metal score.
It's absolute
filth.
It's building filth. on what we were talking about with Hotline Miami, like, this isn't just a track that makes you want to play this rhythmically. I'm pretty sure Mick Gordon is basically responsible for the new range of, like, doom-like rhythm games, like Bullets Per Minute,
like Metal Hellsinger and stuff
Metal
like
Hellsinger.
That.
Like, those two games are just built on the idea that you want to play Doom to this music, and like, can we do that but make it into a rhythm game? Like, Mick Gordon has changed how people do this stuff now.
It's one of those ones, and one of my backups was I can't pronounce it. It's a Polish word, but it's from Cyberpunk anyway. But it was one of those musics that, and same with this one in Doom Eternal, which, like, it made me want to get into fights more because I wanted it to kick off. I wanted that music to come up and have this, like, minute of just chaos and then the music to swell down again afterwards. Like, I was always chasing that high of this music the entire game. It's powerful stuff.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's just so good. What more can you say about it? If you've heard it, you know. And if you're not into it, I also know why you're not into it, because it does feel like it will explode your ears. And the thing is, I do occasionally listen to this on Spotify, very occasionally, because it's every song is like 8 minutes, and it just doesn't stop either. There's no, like, little lulls. There's an occasional little, like, boom, 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 and then it'll just drop again.
But do you feel like when you listen to some game songs, I can listen to some songs and be content with enjoying the song, but this is one of those ones where when I listen to it, I want to go and play the game.
I know exactly what you mean. And it's what draws you in. It's so good. And yeah, like you said, it's inspirational. Influential. It inspired me. Dale.
I got another one, haven't I? I'm really torn on this. I'm going to do character theme, And I've got two, and I really can't decide.
I've got two, and there's I think one of them will be the same.
Okay, so I've got one that I don't think on paper you might argue is not a character theme, but it definitely feels that way to me. It's not called a character's theme anyway.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with this one, and it's from Red Dead Redemption 2. Mm-hmm. And it's the...
I had that for another
category. Stand and Shaken, which is like, which is, spoilers, Arthur Morgan's death scene. Stand and Shaken. That is this like iconic piece of music that has just beautiful lyrics and tone. And also, I don't know if you guys know this or everyone knows this, but there's two versions of it as well, mm-hmm. for like depending on what sort of, yeah. If he's good or bad, you get a different version of the song. Yeah,
which and one are you both going for? Of
them, all
the good.
Well,
one.
The good one, because that's how I played the game the first time. One. So that's the first time I heard it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But it's just yes. Very
it's, I know what you mean. It's not necessarily a theme, but it is synonymous with that character.
Yeah.
So, well, it's like it is probably my favorite game of all time at this point, and it's moments like that that make it favorite game of all time.
I think we've talked about it before. I think, I mean, given that we've spoiled that he dies, I think Arthur dying through the course of that game is like genuinely one of the most moving gaming experiences I've ever not just having it happen,
yeah,
but watching it happen for hours and hours and hours and knowing it's gonna happen and feeling that creep up on him, and then that moment of watching it, his life kind of come apart because of it, is just
so good.
Unbelievable.
Like, that's why, like, a lot of people say, like, and I know why, like, it's the most cinematic game ever made, it's like playing a film, like, and I know that's why some people don't like it, because it's not the most gamey game. To me, it's more like a big like HBO like 7-season drama you're playing through. It's because it's that long as well, and you're getting that sort of development in those chapters. Like, it's just it's just so good. And that piece of music, I didn't have that piece of music, but I can say it now, so I'm not gonna get it as one of my it was second choice in my rock pop electronic category, was American Venom, which is like the guitar track that plays in the very last mission of that game as you're going up a mountain. That always, like, I love that piece of music.
I'm sure, and I know for a fact that game is full of great music, but none of them quite stood out to me more than that song. That was the one when, as soon as I'd finished, and I just sat down and reflected for a minute, and then went on YouTube straight away to like listen to the song again as well, because it was so powerful in the moment.
There's
so,
also there's a couple of songs that's it. That's the way it is. To
yes,
use
the yeah, house, that's that one. The one that
and also,
out.
We cannot forget the house building song. That one's a lovely little delight.
You say that, I'd forgotten. Which one? What is it?
The one where they're all singing along. It's you and like uncle just building the farm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're all like hitting the hammers to the beat. Oh, it's lovely stuff.
Oh, is it a montage sequence, isn't it? As
Yeah. God, what a game. And yeah, what a pick. Well done, Dale. Hope you're happy. But yeah. Do you know what? It's fine, because that was my second choice for that one. So I'll get over it. Do you know what? I'm going to do it. Because I've held off long enough. I gave Dale the chance to get it because I thought he'd take this for character theme, but he didn't. I've got to take Nate's theme from my
childhood. Yeah, that's what I had. That was my other one.
I thought it'd be the team. As soon as you hear the first, like, second of this, you know exactly what's coming. And the way they kind of iterated it over the four games as well. I'm going to go with the original one, but like the one they use in 4, which is a bit more mournful, is very good as well. Mm. And just like, it's just full on, like, they know what they're doing. It's full on Indiana Jones worship, and it works perfectly for what they're trying to do.
Listening to it now, the Uncharted 1 is almost like, for a little bit, it sounds almost sort of like World War II-y. Like, it's got a little bit of like American flag waving to it, which is kind of interesting because that's not really what that character is. But once it gets into those strings, you're just like,
it's interesting as well that it's like, I didn't realize until I was like looking around that it's actually called Nate's theme as well, because I just considered it the main theme of Uncharted as well. Like, being able to choose that is It's a good choice. Good
it doesn't
choice.
Really have the same vibe for me when he's not going like, it's not quite the same.
I just love the it's the start of Uncharted 4 where you have the opening like prison break sequence and you just jump into the sea and it like does the, almost like the James Bond fade into the inky titles and the theme starts playing.
So
I might go back and play that game again. It's exactly what we were saying. Like, talking about all this music is just making me want to play all of these games now. Oh, it's good. Right, two for you now, Joe.
Yeah.
I can't believe I only get one at a time. I feel so left out.
Okay, I'm going for... I'm just going to try and take the two I think will go off the board. So I'm going to go with Mass Effect.
Okay.
Uncharted Worlds by Sam Hulick, which is the galaxy map theme. So this is the exploration theme section. Incredibly chill electronic music that just makes that whole process of what should be so boring so right. Like, it turns turns navigating a map into genuinely a proper sci-fi exercise. Like, it really feels like you're in that place choosing that stuff. It's just a brilliant bit of music.
It's just one of those ones where you close your eyes, you can immediately see the fade up of the map and hear the music and everything going on around it. And then also in Mass Effect 2, when you spend age, you're just mining planets for fucking ages.
Yeah.
It makes that whole process like really satisfying as well.
I love that they brought it back, because to me, my memory of it is Mass Effect 2, but it is a Mass Effect song. And like, just that feeling of them realizing, like, it's self-consciously realizing how important that was to that process. Like, it feels like that music is playing in the game, in that world, when you open that map. Like, it's so, so connected to it. Yes, just brilliant. Sam Hulick's work on Mass Effect in general is just like incredible across the board.
Just a good choice.
Really good.
Nice. What have you got next?
This one. I think this is the song, apart from maybe, because I'm not actually going to pick it, but apart from maybe Super Mario World, this song defines my, or like, is the song I think of when I think of playing games as a kid, and it is called Go Straight, and it is the stage 1-1 music from Streets of Rage 2.
Okay.
Do you know it? I think if you played Streets of Rage 2, you will know it well, because if you were like me, you lost that game all the time and had to listen to it over and over again.
It's not too familiar to me, I won't lie to you. But
that's fine.
I can see why you'd want it, because it definitely fits in with what you've got so far.
Yeah, it's got propulsive electronic stuff, but it's also just, again, maybe that is what I'm kind of stumbling onto. The stuff I like is the stuff that feels so... a piece with the gameplay. Like, it's not just a good bit of music. This to me is the sound of like entering that like hellhole, weird, slightly politically dodgy world of Streets of Rage, where you're just beating up poor people on the street and stealing their chicken. It's just like, it's just such an amazing bit of like 90s composition. It's like really high action, strange, like hip hop chip tune mix. I just love it so much. I have actually listened to this just walking about. It's just a really good track. I love it.
Yeah, it's a good choice. Well done to you. Thank I hope you're happy with yourself. I didn't want it, so it's fine.
That's fine.
I don't know. I don't know what to go for. Do you know what? I'm going to do it. Joe kind of alluded to it earlier in my rock pop electronic, because you did take the Red Dead one from me. I'm gonna have to go Doom 2016, not Eternal, and take BFG Division. This bit of music sounds like a machine gun firing straight into your ear. It's so good. I just remember when I was playing it, this coming on, and also like, I've watched it so many times. It must have been about well, it probably would have been 2016, at the Game Awards when Mick Gordon played it live. It was the last piece I think he played, and it just dropped. And that I would love so much to have been in that room when that was happening. Just him with his, just him, a drummer, and I think maybe one other, maybe a bass player. Mm. No, I think it was just maybe a drummer and him, because I think it's, I don't know too much about guitars. It was, I think it was a six string that was tuned pretty low, and he was just absolutely going for it. And yeah, it's just, like I said, it is just, we've always talked about it with Doom Eternal. It just makes me want to play that game.
I love that this builds in that, like, it's like proper, just straightforward metal, but it's got that refrain of the and it's got like this weird like horror vibe. Like, it's, you take that out and put it onto like a creepy synth, and that's just an 80s horror movie refrain. And I love that he's just put that over the top of it, and it kind of just floats in now and then to make it seem really creepy. It's great. Yeah.
Saying Doom 2016 did take off the board for me, the menu music from Doom 2016. I don't know if you remember that. And the main reason I got, it's really good, obviously, but the main reason I've got it is, I remember back in 2016, we were doing a live stream for Doom, and I had to do setup for ages, and I was trying to get our live system set up, and I just had that menu music playing on repeat for about an hour while I was setting things up. It just drilled into my brain, so much so that every couple of minutes I was waiting for the drop, and every time I'd hear the big drop coming, I'd get so excited about it. So fantastic. Just, those games are just obnoxiously good when it comes to music.
Yeah. Why is he not doing more? Do more.
Well, didn't he have some sort of massive rift with Bethesda? So that might be it.
Oh, well, that impact. Do another game.
Yeah, get him involved in something.
Exactly. Dale. Double pick Dale.
That's what they call me on the streets. Right.
You pickpocketing.
So I'll go for exploration map theme. This is a tricky one, this one, because it's from Cyberpunk 2077. Mm-hmm. When this music was in the game, I was obsessed with this music. And then when I went to search for it afterwards, I just couldn't find it. And it couldn't find what this music was called. Still to this day, I don't know what it's actually called. But I did find somebody who put it on YouTube. I had to go for a whole Pacific Dreams playlist to like listen to it to find where it was. They've put a title for it. I've searched that title since then. It's definitely not called that. Like, no one else. There's no records of this. Okay. However, I've got a link to a video. He calls it SLG Flatlander Woman - slag. I don't know what.
Oh my god!
I don't know what the name is there. But let me send it to you.
Can't be called that.
I mean, that sounds straight up like dialogue from Cyberpunk.
Yeah. But when you hear it, you'll recognise it. It's often, like, I think it's used in some of the cutscenes when you're in cars.
So it's from the 88.3 radio
station.
It's on
that radio station, yeah.
I don't actually remember this, but it is cool. And this would fit on mine, actually, so I'm glad that I didn't think of it.
It's like, I've downloaded this off YouTube since, and I've built it into my Spotify and have it on a playlist coming around every now and again. It's like, I use it to write to these days as well. I just love it. It's just such a subtle, cool, drilling beat that just reminds me instantly of walking around like a nighttime version of Night City and all those neon lights.
I've looked at the YouTube comments, and it seems no one knows who made this song.
Exactly.
Is this
a mystery.
IGN Inside story? Who made this? Is it a Phantom Music?
I generally considered at one point like trying to see if I could dig deeper and find out who made this song.
Didn't some of the music come from developers? Or is that me going wild?
No, they did have an in-house system where they made things. Yeah, but apparently, like, somebody on the comments said they reached out to CD Projekt Red. And, I mean, I could definitely try in a little harder to find out more information about it. But, yeah.
The mystery's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's exciting.
Who is Flatlander Woman?
Exactly. What's next, Dale?
What was that for? That was Exploration Map theme, wasn't it? So I'm just writing them down so I don't forget.
Oh, it's nice.
Okay. Ooh. So I've only got, what have I got left? I've got menu theme, licensed track list, and saucy bangers left.
Saucy bangers. Don't forget the saucy bangers.
I think you both have already said your licensed track list, haven't you? So I can sit on that till last, I think.
You can. Unless I'm taking something for a saucy banger.
I'm going for a saucy banger. And this was in my orchestral piece at one point, but I changed my mind. But I'm going for Snake Eater from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh, that is a good one. That is sauce on sauce.
It's undoubtedly a banger.
I love that song so much.
It was on my shortlist. I won't lie to you. It's a good song. It's a good game.
It's absolutely good. What can you say more about it? Like the fact that it's a, you know, pure James Bond ripoff in every sense, but still so iconic, so memorable. And like, honestly, can you even say the name Metal Gear Solid 3 without not thinking of that song immediately?
I just think
No, because it's called Snake Eater.
yeah. And the lyrics of Someday You Feed on a Tree Frog?
Oh, yeah, the lyrics are fucking nonsense. Someday you feed on a tree frog. Someday you go through the rain. Someday you feed on a tree frog. This ordeal, the trial to survive. For the day we see new life, I give my life. Not for honor, but for you, Snake Eater.
I mean, so good. Did Kojima? I feel like Kojima wrote these lyrics. It definitely feels like he did that.
No way Kojima's letting anyone else write the James Bond lyrics. No way. That's come straight from him. That's why he made some poor lady sing Someday Feed on a Tree Frog. Hi, Joe here from the future. We're talking a load of shit. It was composed and written by Norihiko Hibino. Sorry, Hideo. Didn't mean to make fun. Back to the show.
Can imagine when she was in the booth recording that. Like, are you sure? Is this not a typo?
Cynthia Harrell, that's her name. Sorry.
Do you think the game is meant to be called Frog Eater, but they made him change that? be Frog Eater.
Is this just me getting memes confused with real life, or does that play when you're going up the mad ladder?
Yeah, it does play in a like a subtle, quieter version of
it. Oh, okay, so that's not the first time you've heard that song.
No, you get a prologue opening credits and then it pops up with dun dun dun.
Oh, so good. That might win you this draft alone. that is an unbelievable pick.
I've got my next pick. I'm gonna go for my menu theme. And I had two down here. But I'm gonna go for one. It's gonna appear in every draft from now on, so get used to it. I think it's Elden Ring.
That is a tune, man.
When you boot up that game and you just hear a doo doo doo, and then it just out of nowhere just goes like, well, it goes like this. It's basically just people going, like massive drums.
That song, I'll tell you what, I do like that song. I think it's a weird pick for a weird pick from Software for a menu theme, because it's two completely separate vibes in one song. It's so chill for a while and then so loud after that, and you're like, what theme are we getting across here? I don't know what they were going for.
It does the perfect thing, though. It sets you up for that game because you're kind of like, oh, cool, I'm just going to relax for a bit. And then, like you say, out of nowhere, it just really puts you on edge, and that's what this game does to you. Like, it gets you in the mood. It prepares you for you're in for a tense time here. And it's just,
it's not it's what so I was good. Expecting at all.
Do you know how you end up hearing more of that? Is if your PS4 continually fucking boots you out because you've lost your connection. And then you have to go back and listen to it over and over again.
That didn't happen to me, so
bad vibes.
It's brilliant. It's also, I'm trying to find the guy's name. Have you seen the video of the guy who did it in a bunch of different genres? Alex Mukalla. Oh, it's so good. Alex Mukalla, who's done a load of really cool video game themed music videos. Yeah, he's done the Elden Ring main theme in 15 different styles. It's pinned to his...
I know him. Yeah, I've seen him. I haven't seen the Elden Ring one, but yeah, I've seen his videos before.
But yeah, he does like Spanish guitar, like new symphonic disco. Metal. it's really good fun. It's just a brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant, I mean, so far I've got the menu theme from Elden Ring with Nate's theme from Uncharted, a bit of Shadow of the Colossus, Doom, and the Beatles.
See, the first three all sound of a piece, and then it goes a bit mad.
I've got a lot of nice strings. I've got a nice mix of Japanese and Western stuff as well. That's always nice, isn't it? Joe, you've got two.
Yes. The rest of my thing, I don't really expect you to pick any of it. And some of it you may never have heard, but it's all for me, baby. It's all for me. The vibes on this playlist are going to be exquisite. For menu theme, I'm going for the track that opens my favorite gaming soundtrack of all time, which is FTL, Faster Than Light. Ooh. I think this is the most gorgeous chiptune song ever composed. I think it's fucking incredible. It's so lovely, so chill, and it builds in this beautiful way all the way through. You're not going to get it. If you've listened to a little clip that we've just put in, you're not going to get how this builds throughout the course of the piece. But it just has this feeling of like this exploratory, like, I am about... I don't know how better to put it. I'm about to fly through space for the first time. Like, it's just got this real, like, wide-eyed feeling to it, and I absolutely love it. I listen to it all the time. This is my writing music, the FTL soundtrack. And I had to... The coolest thing... There's two very cool facts about this soundtrack. One, every track in it, barring Space Cruise, has an exploration version and a battle version. And so you get these like remixes of the tracks within the album. And so you can effectively put it in two halves, one for chill and one for like going off. My second fact for this is the guy who composed it, Ben Prunty, who's brilliant, composed the whole thing initially on banjo. And you can really hear it. There are bits where you hear these refrains and you're like, oh, I totally see how this was played on banjo first and then turned into chiptune music. It's so good.
I just listened to a little bit, but on quite low volume because I was listening to you as well. But it did sound to me like there was that certain notes that were either off key or warped slightly as well, which definitely adds to the like uneasiness vibe of what's about to come as well.
It's so good, man. Just the whole, like, I can't, if you do anything after this apart from play Snake Eater repeatedly, listen to the FTL album. Honestly, it's just incredible. This is one of those ones I talked about having on vinyl, and like just an amazing bit of music. Love
good stuff. Is that your first of two?
That's my first of two. My second is rock pop electronic piece, which obviously is most of this anyway. And it is from Sable, and it's called Glider. Which is by Japanese Breakfast, who is an indie artist who collaborated on the soundtrack for that game. In fact, I think wrote the entire soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I don't think she collaborated. But Glider is the one voiced piece in the whole game. It's beautiful. Come in to me, show us the way. I'm caught between the wind and parts. I was originally picking it for exploration map theme, but I kind of wanted Mass Effect in there. This song plays, you do this whole tutorial section. If you don't know Sable, it's this really pretty open world game, completely non-violent. It's just about exploring this desert on a hover bike and finding, you're essentially a nomad who goes on this thing called the gliding, which is, you know how like the Amish do Rumspringa, like they go out to the world and see what the world is like and then decide if they want to go back? Like, it's basically this for this nomadic sci-fi
and
tribe
made
that
up
she's
the
part
road
of
as well, isn't it?
It was made in Finsbury Park initially.
Yeah.
And you do this tutorial where you meet everyone and then you go on your gliding. And as you leave this giant stone arch that encloses the kind of tutorial area where it's essentially the Great Plateau, like in Breath of the Wild, as you leave it, the camera just fucking flings out and shows you the entire scope of this world as your character just goes away on a tiny little bike and this song plays. And it is just one of the most wonderful intros to a game, and the feeling of like Japanese Breakfast just encapsulating this feeling of like going out for the first time, becoming an adult, and it's just beautiful. It's just a lovely, lovely track.
When I was at GDC earlier in the year, I bumped into her into Japanese Breakfast. She was at the awards, and I felt really bad because I have not played the game.
Joe, Do you want to know how nice it was hearing you listening to the music and then hearing you at the same time describing it? It's like a spoken word thing. It really, really worked.
We should just publish that as a video.
Let's just put it underneath. It's just it's such a wonderful thing. So good. Emotional music.
Oh, see, whereas I like things that absolutely just bang. What I'm going for, I've got my battle theme, and it is again down to two. But I'm going to go... I still haven't decided because they both absolutely rip. But I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with the one I genuinely think is probably better music, and it's going to be Hades. And in particular, there's so many choices.
Is it the track
Hades
that sounds exactly like Doom?
No, I've gone for... I think that's Out of Tartarus, which also does bang. I've gone for the slightly different one, which is The Painful Way, which is also... Because Hades does this thing of like it, you never know quite which bit of music is going to play in like certain areas. I think has a rotation of battle themes that come in at different points, and those are both in the first area of the game. But The Painful Way, I think, is the one I'm going to pitch because I heard it so much because I died so much early on in that game.
Oh, that's a good riff.
Those guitars are so good. That is just a banging riff. Darren Korb, he's a genius. All the music he does for all their games, fantastic. And voice of the main character. That's too much talent. Well done to him.
The cool thing about the Hades soundtrack is it balances that like trying to be period authentic, which is odd for a game like Hades. But you know what? It's got those kind of like Greek like vibes that you hear in things like Assassin's Creed Odyssey or... games that invoke that period, but it just doesn't feel hokey. Like, there's no imitation to it. He is making actual new-sounding music out of that instrumentation. It's really, really cool. It's a brilliant soundtrack.
The one that was just runner-up to that, which I can't... I won't be taking in any other categories, but I was very close to picking Final Fantasy VII's battle theme.
That was my backup as well.
Runner-up for both of us. But yeah, really, unlucky really cool. Final Fantasy.
And also, Final Fantasy VII has a couple of good battle themes. It has a boss battle theme as well, which is extra good too.
Yeah, good stuff.
Also, the victory theme in that game as well. Like,
The fact that so far no one has picked any Final Fantasy people music will probably annoy some people. It's all good. Don't get me wrong, we can pick a few.
My second pick for Rock Pop Electronic, which fell out because of just not sounding like the rest of my stuff, was Otherworld by Junya Nakano, which I think we've talked about before. It's the insane heavy metal track that plays early on in Final Fantasy X. And it's just the stupidest music. It sounds so good. I love it.
Good stuff.
That might have come up in the last draft, actually, when we talked about space flying evil sin whales. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Dale, I think you have two now. Is that right?
I've got three. I've got Menu, Rock Pop, Electric.
Oh, but you've got two picks now, right?
Yes, Tracklist. I feel pretty confident with these last three that none of them are going to get chosen. So I'm just gonna go sequentially. So for Menu theme, did you guys play Street Fighter 4?
No. Well, I might have played it a bit, not enough to.
Incredibly.
It's the Menu theme, mate. You'd know it. Let me share it with you. Nothing can break my spirit, cause it's in this
Flow Rider in it.
Yep. I can break my spirit is too strong. Indestructible, nobody's taking over my throne. But to my situation, I'm making do it alone. Feel from the ground up inside out so I last long. The last man standing on the...
This is out there.
Yeah. It's the first thing that came to mind when I thought of Menu music. It is a big, big pop song and not what you'd necessarily expect from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those ones that wore me down through repetition more than anything. Like, I kind of dismissed it as silly when the first time I heard it, which I'm sure you just did as well, Simon. But it has got some big hooks in it. And still to this day, I could probably sing the whole song as well. It's like burned into my brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Indestructible, by the way. I forgot to mention that, if you want to search for it.
It's rare that you hear like actual full-on pop music in games, and I genuinely love it when it happens. Like, when someone's just like, we're going to write an actual pop song for this, and it's usually in, like, Japanese anime-inflected games. It's And it's cool to see it in something that's definitely a little bit different to that. Like,
I can't even remember what Street Fighter V had, but I remember being disappointed that it wasn't something on the level of Indestructible as well. It's a catchy banger.
Nice.
This is my rock pop electronic piece, but it's actually boss music.
Barbie Girl by Aqua is what you've sent us.
So I don't know if you guys ever played Shatter. Do you remember Shatter?
Yes, I do. What a banger.
Shatter?
Is it a PS3 Brick Breaker?
PS3 game, yeah. And it has this music. It's called boss music. And it's the most boss music you'll ever hear.
I have never even heard of Shatter.
You haven't played Shatter.
You ain't seen Bad Boys 2.
Mate, it's so good.
I'm just going to listen to it.
Up there with Hold Down as the best brick breaker you'll ever play.
I don't know what this is. It looks cool.
We finally found a game Joe hasn't heard of.
It's a brick breaker shmup.
Yeah, it's so
that's
good.
That's cool. Yeah, never heard of it. Assistance boss music.
But this boss music plays on every single boss battle, and it's like it's so exciting when it kicks in as well, because the boss like starts building in anticipation and this music builds up. It's so good.
This is cool, but the first thing it made me think of is push me and then just touch me so I can get
Benny
my Shatter boss music. I can't think of much that is more PS2 than this.
It's PS3.
It's PS3.
Oh, it's PS3. Well, then it should have been on PS2.
It's like one of the first bigger PSN games, I think, or like good ones.
It was the
anyway.
Early days, I think. Yeah.
Of PS3. I say how long ago this came out. I just started watching the IGN review of it, and Damon's doing it, and his title at the time is Downloadable Games Editor. That was a thing that was there were so few of them that you could actually have a whole editor dedicated to just downloadable games. There we go.
I love that this is stuck in your head. That's just the mark of an absolute banger. Like It's there for all this time later.
Repetition of like catchy hooks, right? Mm-hmm. It's ones that like I don't necessarily, apart from the Red Dead one I mentioned earlier, I don't necessarily like always remember the one-time plays when it's like things that I repeatedly hear and then I just can't shake it.
The one-time plays. It's a good track.
Shatter is one game. As soon as we finish that, I'm going to say Infamous. People probably don't remember that episode where we were listing PS3 hidden gems, and I said Deus Ex was a hidden gem. this is one game that I had on my shortlist that I really should have put in, because this is a genuine hidden gem.
Yeah, it's a genuine hidden gem. Yeah.
But there we go. I'll go with my second to last pick then, and I'm going to save my banger to last because I have like five different songs for my banger just in case something was taken. Instead, I'm going for my map exploration theme. People knew it was cut. It happened to happen eventually. I tried to not do it just because it was inevitable and boring. I've gone for Persona 5. And I've gone
for
This is going to be weird on the recording, but Cardi in the Google call, you've frozen.
Oh, you look like you're back.
It's on my recording. I don't know what's gone on there.
You froze just before you said whatever it was. Yeah. It was like you were doing the big build-up.
Fantastic. Well, I said it was inevitable. It was Persona 5, and it's going to be Tokyo Daylight for exploration.
This is.
Look, it makes me feel happy.
I feel like I'm in a shopping centre or something.
Yeah, you're walking around like central Tokyo looking at all the shops. That's kind of the theme, the vibe we're going for here.
I know this is unpopular opinion, but.
Yeah.
Persona 5 is the opposite of a game whose soundtrack worms its way into me. With good results. The soundtrack is partly why I had to stop playing Persona 5. I just was so upset with listening to some of these tracks. And to the point where my girlfriend was walking in and being like, this fucking music. Like, she just hate, like, particularly in the dungeons, just like, oh, it's just endless, man.
I can't get enough. But I do also get what you mean, that at points this game can turn into a podcast game. As any sort of big turn-based RPG can do, just because you're doing the same stuff so often.
That didn't feel like it was in the spirit of this game. We're celebrating stuff. I apologize for shitting on it.
I also know
that people absolutely love that soundtrack. It's just not for me.
Whether you like it or not, it is one of the most revered game soundtracks of all time at this point. Yeah. So, I'm picking...
I guess they don't need me to say it's good.
I mean, what will annoy you is my second choice was actually Fossil Falls from Super Mario Odyssey, which is probably much better.
So,
we're not going to hear that now, unfortunately, because it's not going to be my saucy banger. That's a spoiler. But that's my second last pick. Joe, you've got your last two.
I have. I'm going orchestral piece, which is hard because it doesn't really fit the philosophy of the rest of my thing. So I've gone for... A track that I just think is incredible, and B, a track that I think fits like some of the chiller end of the vibes on here, which is the main theme from Breath of the Wild by Manaka Katawaka.
It was going to happen at one point.
Yeah. Yasuaki Iwata and Hajime Wakai.
So I actually think this music is the opposite of an ear. do you know what? Don't get me wrong, Zelda music is incredible. Like, older Zelda music and the original Zelda theme, I would not be able to hum you a piece of actual Breath of the Wild music.
I agree.
Well, this is the thing. I think that's actually, apart from listening to this track, I think you hear it and go, oh, I remember this, but that will be more from, this is the da 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 da, which is on all the trailers, so I think that's why people remember this. The bulk of Breath of the Wild is texture, but I think it's really beautiful texture. I think it's like that spear, it's kind of like accenting the world around you, and it's generative, it like reacts to what's going on. Which is something we haven't talked about. Like, generative music is, particularly in open worlds, is like such a massively interesting topic that doesn't lend itself to us kind of going, this track's really good. This track, and originally on here, I had the epilogue music from Breath of the Wild, which is the only time in the game it plays the actual Zelda theme. So you finish, and that the very, very end, hundreds of hours in, is when you finally hear that music, which I think is beautiful. But I just love how much they committed in Breath of the Wild to, this is our pastoral open world, and we're going to just have this incredibly low-key soundtrack that sort of drapes over the top of it rather than pulls you up. It sits down, like, it feels like it's kind of playing out of the grass as you walk over it. I just think it's amazing. It fit the vibe. Orchestral was hard for me, but I think this works.
Yeah, it works. It keeps him with what you've got. And I mean, you're the first person to have their last pick. Somehow it's worked out that way.
I know, I don't know how we got there.
Yeah.
So I will say that two picks ago from Dale, I completely changed my saucy banger out of nowhere because I'd forgotten something. And this is me fully abandoning my philosophy. Originally, I had a joke pick, which I will say at the end just in case it... I don't know. I don't think anyone else is going to pick this because it is just a funny pick. But better than that, is a song by a Japanese rock band called The Bees. The song is called Into Free, and it is the theme tune to the original version of Dragon's Dogma. And it is one of the it's one of the stupidest bits of rock music I have ever heard, and it makes me laugh so much. It is fucking absurd, this music.
Is there a British or an American band called The Bees?
This is B apostrophe Z, so right. Not that. There was The Bees. I think they were from Liverpool, maybe. This music is just hilarious hair metal madness. And genuinely, there's another version of this list in a different universe where I'm making a Japanese hair metal list based on picking this and seven different Dynasty Warriors soundtracks.
This does not fit.
It doesn't fit at all. This is the end of my playlist. I just think it's so much fun.
No, I mean, it doesn't fit Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, no, it doesn't fit anything. This is because This is because the Bees are a massive rock band in Japan. And I'm pretty sure Capcom were like, we've got this fucking bonkers game. We're really going to struggle to market this. Let's just get like a track from a really famous rock duo, rock band, and stick it at the front of our game, and we'll just see if that works. And it's become like a meme among Dragon's Dogma fans for how mad it is, to the point, and like it's now also kind of a hidden, like it's basically sort of a mystery because it's been removed from every version of Dragon's Dogma since because I think the license expired. And I once tried to do an interview with the Bees about this, and they won't talk about it. They will, like, they're also they're also extremely rich people. They don't need to talk about their Capcom tracks that they've done. Their management straight up refused an interview about this because I just wanted to tell the story of Inter Free because it's dumb as fuck. I love
it. Crazy.
Yeah, good stuff. I've got my last bit there. What's your last category, Dale?
The track list.
Okay, I should be safe with any of these things. So I've got five here that I think I know which one I'm going to pick. I'm surprised none of them were taken. They're all down as options. I was convinced, Joe, that you were going to take something from Windjammers.
You know, I didn't even think about that. That's such a good point. Oh, I fucking love Windjammers music.
So on my shortlist for Banger is Beach from Windjammers.
Yes!
it's not going to be that. Also on my list, just the overture from Overwatch. Just that superhero theme, which is just
was
so good.
In my orchestral list.
Third on my saucy banger list, the main theme from Medal of Honor by Michael Giacchino. Incredible piece of music. It sounds like it's from Band of Brothers or something. Okay. It's so good. But that was on my shortlist. It's not going to win. Fourth on my shortlist, that's also not going to win, was Grandma in brackets Destruction from Nier Automata. which is a big like invasion piece of music that happens.
Nier Automata is one of the great soundtracks as well.
Exactly. Like it was another one of those where I was like, I don't know if it gets the top one for me in any of these categories. Like as an overall soundtrack, it is fantastic though. But my winner.
Sorry, Carly, I just want you to know that I've got Medal of Honor's theme playing in the background and it's making everything you say sound so important.
Oh, fantastic. We've got my winner, which is, this is one I actually thought Dale might take, so I'm happy I got it. My saucy banger is of course the Monkey Island theme tune.
It for a second, actually. Yeah.
Or I don't know how it's fitting in. Is it a saucy banger? I'm saying it is. it's just that music. I can't wait for it to come back. What, this year? We still don't know when this year, but we will be playing a new Monkey Island game. And as soon as that boots up and what we see, Melee Island, presumably. And that come up. Or yeah, that's just like pretty much outside of Mario, maybe like the first game music I remember.
Yeah.
Like, just I remember my dad playing those games and just watching him play and that music. I was just like, oh.
It's got that like reggae vibe to it.
Yeah. So good.
It's another one though with the technical limitations, right? Where just pure craftsmanship has to shine through. Like there's no bells or whistles. And
yep.
Yeah, are you picking the original or the special edition one?
I'm going to go just for pure nostalgia, the original MIDI version. Yeah. So good. You've got your last pick, Dale.
Licensed track list. I got it down to two of the obvious ones. I had something that was very influential to me. Important point in my life was Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons, it taught me, led me down
skate.
In a... never that. But led me down a different direction of like music that I was into and genres and like discovered loads of bands. However, I do think there's one that's probably more influential to me. And the reason I chose this one as opposed to any of the other games in the series is that it has one distinct decision.
Are we going to Miami?
We are going to Miami. it might not be the best GTA soundtrack, but I think it's the most concise and deliberate soundtrack in terms of this is... Like, if you've ever heard the music in the 80s is bad, this will prove you wrong. This is the soundtrack.
No, it's not bad,
this is the greatest collection of 80s music that has ever been committed.
Which one track are we going to be hearing, though, now?
Oh, Africa, probably. It is one of the best pop songs of all time. But there's like, what is it, like Two Tribes and Billie Jean, Atomic, Video Killed the Radio Star.
We're the Kids in America.
Yeah, Keep on Loving You, Broken Wings. What else?
Oh, it's just good.
There's tons.
Yeah, it's just nonstop good. I know what you mean. Like, for me, I think San Andreas is the one. Because that was the one that was really the first GTA I probably played. And that's
but it's not necessarily focused, is it?
Like, no, I know what you mean. Extremely focused. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just good. Mm-hmm. 80s music's good. So, yeah, you've got that. Is it better than the Beatles, though?
I generally didn't even think of that, doing like music games, like rhythm games.
Are there like any other mad games like that you could do? Like, I don't know. Look. Yeah, I didn't even think about it too much, to be honest.
What about DJ Hero or Drop Mix?
DJ Hero was DJ Hero was genuinely like, if Hotline Miami went, would I take this? I've never played DJ Hero, but I was like, well, it would be the same vibe as the rest of my stuff.
The music is very good in DJ Hero. So it's actually annoying. I don't think it's accessible. Nah. Maybe it is on YouTube, but I'm sure
someone's got like bootleg playlists of it. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we go. I'm sure. There's lots of songs there you knew would turn up, and that's probably quite a few that you haven't heard before, so you've been introduced to. Isn't that nice? Should we go through each of ours?
I was going to say, do you have any honourable mentions before we finish?
I just deleted them all.
Chemical Plant Zone, Sonic 2.
Yes.
That is an absolute banger, and if I didn't get Snake Eater, that's what was going in.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I would shout out Splatoon. I genuinely think the Splatoon soundtrack is incredible because they've tried to make pop punk, but using the voices of squid children speaking in another language. And it's genuinely still good, even though it's that stupid. and also I'd like to shout out the Smash Brothers Ultimate soundtrack, which is something like 400 tracks long. It's absolutely insane.
Obscene.
If I can find it. I'm not going to be able to find it. It's just enormous, and is just like one of the biggest, like, I think people have talked about this before, but Smash Bros in general is like this weird celebration of Nintendo. It's like a museum to itself. But the music is the core of that. Like, it's crazy how much music is in those games. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. I did have some shouts, like The Witcher 3 was close for me for a few. The menu music for The Witcher 3 is particularly good.
That battle theme of the lady going, right, that's in my head for the rest of my life.
I also had the Horizon Forbidden West menu thing, because they do play a version of Aloy's theme there. And obviously, I'm the only person who likes that, apparently.
Yeah.
This is another game where we don't normally talk about it maybe in the same light that other people do, but I do think one thing it absolutely nails is music, and that's Ghost of Tsushima and the Jin Sakai theme. When you're that bit, the prologue bit where you're like going through with the horse through the grass and that music like just swells up, that is incredible. So yeah, that was up there for me. I also had, I didn't pick it because I thought it's just a bit of a... just like, you know, it's the hipster choice that everyone says in it. The bit of Health from Max Payne 3. It's good. It's good. Mm. It's not, you know, it's not top three in anything. That's to be honest.
Have either of you played Grindstone?
Yes.
The soundtrack to Grindstone is incredible. Like, that's another one. Born straight away on vinyl because I was listening to it all the time. It's like this weird, like, hip-hop infused electronic music that made by a guy called Sam Webster. It's so, so good. Listen to Backpack from Grindstone. It's just genius. My saucy banger at one point, and Dale, I think you'll appreciate this, was the mansion basement music from Resident Evil. I don't know if you remember that, which is just a sound of a load of horns falling over. It's just like... It was made by a composer who claimed he was deaf, but was actually faking it for like 30 years. And it made more sense that he'd composed that when he was deaf.
The earlier games have some mad music in them. Yeah. None of them, I would say, are necessarily good.
No. Mansion Basement is just one of the funniest bits of music I've ever heard. GameSpot actually have a really good little documentary about it, because it's so strange. Worth listening to.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, should we go through our lists quickly? I'll start with mine. I went with my menu theme, Elden Ring. My battle theme is the... I don't know, why am I talking like this?
Battle theme!
The battle theme is The Painful Way from Hades. My character theme is Nate's from Uncharted. My orchestral piece is Revived Power from Shadow of the Colossus. And I've got BFG Division from Doom 2016 as my rock piece. Then my exploration one is Persona 5 Tokyo Daylight. And my license track list is The Beatles Rock Band. And my saucy banger is, of course, the Monkey Island theme tune. What a selection that is.
Varied. Mixed. Yeah.
Dale, what have you got?
Okay, so my menu music is Indestructible from Street Fighter 4. My battle theme was Meat Hook from Doom Eternal. My character theme was the May I Stand Unshaken Arthur Morgan death scene. We've already spoiled it, so whatever. The exploration music was the untitled Cyberpunk 2077 track by an untitled band called Slag, apparently. And my orchestral piece was the Blades of Chaos from God of War. My electronic piece was the boss music from Shatter. My licensed track list was Vice City. And my saucy banger was Snake Eater.
Oh, that's a good list. Joe's, yours is of a piece.
Yeah, until the end. Menu theme, Space Cruise from FTL. Battle theme, Go Straight from Streets of Rage 2. Character theme, Guile's theme from Street Fighter 2. Come on, that's the win. Exploration map theme is Uncharted Worlds from Mass Effect, the galaxy map theme. Rock pop electronic was Glider by Japanese Breakfast from Sable. My orchestral piece was the main theme from Breath of the Wild. My track list was Hotline Miami. The saucy banger is Into Free Dangan by the Bees from Dragon's Dogma. Really, wow. Rounding out the somewhat electronic focused vibe. Fantastic. That I've been building throughout.
I'm sure we'll put that to a vote somewhere on Twitter and you can decide. I don't know how you decide who's won that. They're all very, very singular things, I think. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. And of course, let us know what your favourite video game music is at IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. We do have some feedback to get through. There won't be an endless search today. Just
to get through.
In a nice way, in a nice way. There's some great feedback this week, actually. But yeah, we'll return next week with an endless search. And we've been sent, I tell you, it's Susie Reveal, we've been sent a very good game we're looking forward to playing.
Great, yeah. Week.
So
I sent that out. It looks great.
Next week, I won't guarantee that, but more than likely will be played next week. Joe, you've got the first piece of feedback.
This is from, and I apologise in advance, I think I'm saying this right, Miguel Ponciano, I think.
Seems right.
Greetings, IGN UK crew from Portugal. First-time writer, but very long-time listener. Glad to hear of your love for the natter, the sweetest of quiches. I love that just talking about natters made someone from Portugal go, this is the time I have to write it. I was wondering if you guys ever had an idea for a game you would love to play. My idea was an open world game set in a small town where you'd create the character and choose your house and other details. Depending where you go or what you decide to do, the game would create a scenario you had to survive from. If you went into the woods, you might find a werewolf. If you choose to go to the beach, maybe you get attacked by a kaiju crab. In brackets, I don't know. If you just stay home and watch TV, maybe someone would break into your house. Each playthrough would last an in-game day, about an hour or two, and the fun would be to discover all the scenarios. Thanks for the fun and always unexpected conversations, and respect the sea. I should know, I was stung by a weaver just a week ago for the first time in my life. Yeah, weaver fish stings are meant to be nasty, so do respect the sea.
Absolutely.
Can't say it enough.
Would you play the game?
I think that sounds like a cool game. I like the idea of, like, you choose a location like and crab. Stuff happens. Kaiju crab's always good.
I actually tweeted that the other day. I forgot me and Joe did a Let's Play about a fight crab. I think that game's out now. But that was a fun one.
It's got a Switch version in a box, and the box art is absolutely incredible. It's crabs fighting. I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, it's very good. In terms of an idea for a game I'd love to play, I do occasionally find myself writing down little things in my phone like I'm ever going to do anything with them.
I'm sure we've accidentally said some on this podcast before.
The thing I always think of, I want someone to build on the idea of, did you ever play Magicka? It was a game where you were little wizards running around.
Yeah.
And they had this thing where you would have like 10 different spells bound to the top of your keyboard, And by doing different ones at the same time, you'd create different effects. So it was like, if you did fire and water, you'd do a steam attack and that kind of stuff. Now, I really like the idea of like mixing magic elements to do different things. I want someone to build more on that, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that game is.
I just want a new Guitar Hero. My new idea.
I was going to say, every idea I have is usually what someone else has done, but I've just got a different way. I want it to be better. I want it to do this instead.
Well, I have wanted for a while, which there's bad versions of it out there, but I want, like, you know, Football Manager just nailed the sports simulation. No other sport is that really available. Like, I would love like an actual like NFL like level Football Manager game, because that would be really good, because you actually get to where you get to actually fully design plays and schemes and stuff like that. That would be very, that's the real sports nerd side of me. Other than that, I'd just like a good football game that doesn't prey on the gambling habits of our youth. Am I right, boys? there we go. I don't know why I've put
I was gonna say, am I Emma today?
No, but you are reading an email from Emma.
Okay, well, For the listeners, Cardi always marks a name on who's reading it, and it said Emma on there, so here we go. This is from Emma Brewis. She says, "Hi lads, short time,
mystery
first
solved.
Time. Yeah. Hope you're all doing well. My postman introduced me to the podcast, and I've been slowly listening to all the old episodes ever since."
What? I can't remember the last time conversation I talked to a postman. Is it like, I don't want to assume Emma lives in like a small town, but like a postman maybe... Do you know your postman in a small town?
That's it.
Sounds like a name of a romance, like an erotic novel. Do you know your postman in a small town?
Yeah. No, my mum. I know, Bill, after you've said that, it sounds dodgy, but my mum knows her postman. He's called Terry. He's nice. But I certainly don't know mine.
I was a postman, and I don't think I ever like struck up big conversations with anybody about.
Were you
anything.
Emma's postman? Did you tell her to listen to the IGN UK?
I'm on this podcast. I was a postman.
There we go.
I do recall you talking about post people some time ago on the pod, which makes me wonder whether you've recruited them into spreading your word. Respect the postman. I feel like we're one step away from that. Anyhow, I haven't had anything delivered for a while, so. If for the reason you decide to read this feedback out, if you'd pass on a hello and thank you to my postman, I'd be very grateful.
Hi to Emma's postman.
You have done more to spread this podcast to people than we have ever done. And we thank you for that.
Yeah.
Emma goes on to say, since it was on PS Plus, I gave Stray a go this week and thought the whole game was cracking. The environments in particular were pretty cool, and the design of the robots was right up my alley. Reminded me of the bots in Inscription. Mm. I played the game all in one sitting, which is quite unlike me, so a testament to how much I enjoyed it. I did find the latter half of the game very Wallace and Gromit Project Zoo, a game which may criminally have been passed you by, though IGN did give it a 6.7. Unforgivable. I've never
Wallace
heard of that
Gromit
game.
Wallace and Gromit Project Zoo?
I know it, yeah.
What
I've never
it?
Heard of it.
It's a game. It's, a, it's a Wallace and Gromit game.
I mean, game there's another game called Project Zoo, so that's really thrown me off.
It's, I don't know how you describe it. It's just that, it's the sort of game you'd expect, like, not quite a platformer, but that sort of...
So they're not like, building a zoo or anything?
No, you're going through, like, levels collecting things and, like...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. In 2003, creeping behind moving cages hanging from the ceiling was frankly life-changing, but in 2022, maybe leaves a little to be desired. I love the design of the robot so much, I'd quite like one tattooed, which made me wonder if there's anything you guys like the design of from a game so much that you'd permanently put on your body.
That's an absolute last-minute screeching change in tone. I didn't know where we were going with that. So we're tattooing stuff.
Yeah.
I get the words "Do not pursue Lu Bu" on my back from Dynasty Warriors 3. That would be good.
Good, for the record, I don't have any tattoos. You don't have any tattoos, do you?
No.
Dale, you have a few. So
yeah.
You don't actually have any game ones, though, do you?
You're wrong, mate.
Oh, okay, you're wrong, kid.
I needed.
No, it's a crap one, to be fair. But I remember earlier on when I was talking about Street Fighter 4, I was obsessed with it for a while. I have a quarter circle punch tattooed on my wrist. It's not very good. It's not done very well, but... Yes, that was the idea at the time. I was obsessed.
I'm trying to think, like, what? I'm trying to think why I'd just get the Overwatch symbol on my head.
On your head?
My forehead?
you would look straight up like some weird neo-Nazi cultist.
You don't want that. Yeah, you really don't want that, do you? Same with that. Just get the Kratos face makeup tattooed.
You know, you don't have to go that extreme, right? It doesn't have to be on your face.
If I'm doing it, I'm doing it.
Get the beard and all. Yeah. Tattoo the beard.
I don't know. I just never got a tattoo for that reason. I don't think there's anything I truly loved that much. sad sentence.
There's things I love, like, I love the Resident Evil series, but I don't think there's anything, like, graphic-wise or any cool imagery in those games that I ever want tattooed. Like, it has to be a cool design as well, I feel like. Like, I'd want it to look good, too, not just be a game I like.
Yeah. I'd maybe do it more for a film. Maybe I'd get, like, a glass of milkshake with a straw for There Will Be Blood, just on my arm or something.
Do it.
But the straw goes all the way up to my mouth, up my neck.
Back to the face.
Drainage. Someone's probably got something like that already, to be fair. If you've got any video game tattoos, tell us. IGN_UKFeedback@IGN.com. I've got an email here from Marie Humphrey who says, "Hey guys, taking inspiration from the incredible women's Euros victory on Sunday, which I was lucky enough to witness in person, I'm jealous.
Do you know what? Jealous.
2 weeks before, I looked at tickets. I'm like, oh, I could get one. I didn't. And I kind of wish I
would have been unbelievable.
Yeah. I feel like you did that for the men's one as well.
Yeah, they were like 100. I could have gone for like £200, but like, I'm glad I didn't in the other.
I mean, it's worked out well. On
like
that,
the women's season ones, like, some of them are only like £30. So anyway, Marie says,
I didn't mind watching that. Anyway,
after taking inspiration from that, she decided to start playing football again after being invited to play five-a-side through her partner's friend.
Cool.
Unfortunately, it wasn't the debut I was hoping for. I've switched from third to first person so many times in this.
You've also gone into your video production voice.
Oh no.
Unfortunately, it wasn't the debut I was hoping for.
I managed to break my wrist, saving a rocket of a shot with my bare hand.
Jesus.
worth it for the spectacular save, but I am now facing 6 weeks in a cast. Is
Who
that worth
it?
Not worth
against?
It. It's not worth it.
Alvaro Recoba. Adriano. Those are
Power 99.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations for video games that can be played with one hand? I have a PS5, Xbox Series X, Switch, but no PC. Anything to make this period of enforced laziness more enjoyable? Thank you, Marie. I feel like I've answered this roughly before, the one-handed gaming question, but my answer normally is a lot of like laptop games, so I'm sorry.
Or phone games. What about if you've got
hold
a
down.
Phone?
Hold down. Yeah. Oh, no. The greatest. A lot of P-Cross on the phone as well, if you want to tax your mind.
Peggle Blast on the iPhone as well.
Yeah, basically games that don't rely on like timing or reaction. So like any car games like Slay the Spire, they're always good stuff like that.
If you're into your... Slay the Spire is a really good shout for Xbox. I think that's on Game Pass still, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
That's a banger.
What about...
What's the other...
I was going to say like games like The Quarry and the Telltale games, you know, things where you've only really got to hit one button most of the time.
If you've got like loads of time and you've got strategy mind, apparently those the Stellaris and Crusader Kings ports for Xbox are genuinely very good, and at least one of them is in Game Pass, and that will take all 6 weeks of your life away if you get into one of those.
I was going to say Power Wash, but I think you do need two for that.
That would be really annoying to play. That's tough.
Yeah.
What about, is there any Switch games that just use pure motion controls, still like the Wii?
I mean, you could do Switch Sports if you wanted to get back in the old tennis vibes.
You could get Slay the Spire on Switch.
You know what they've got in the new Switch Sports? Football. Enjoy the feeling of the game that broke your wrist. Fair play. Putting a hand on one of those shots where you're just like, this is really going to hurt me. That's why I was never a goalkeeper. I always wanted to be the goalkeeper, but I just didn't have the courage.
I want to do the one doing the shots.
Also, when it's like five-a-side stuff, you fist it instead. I'm not spraying it wide. You just fist that ball.
Just bang it away.
Wow. On that note, another IGN UK podcast is brought to a close. God, we need more music for the end.
Do we?
I think so.
Can we play the Mansion Basement from Resident Evil?
Do that.
Yeah, go on then.
Because that's the most non-musical bit of music we could possibly play.
Yeah. It's a fitting end to our podcast as well, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Have a lovely weekend / week / life. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.